This is what you hear when you enter the Nanjing War Memorial Museum. Outside stands a statue 3 stories high. It's a statue of a mother in rags, silently crying out to the heavens while holding her lifeless child in her arms. The Japanese army had taken Shanghai, and on December 13, 1937, the army moved inland to attack China's capital, Nanjing. Chiang Kai-shek had evacuated his officers and elite troops, abandoning the population to its fate with the invading Japanese army. The rookie and untrained Chinese soldiers left behind stripped off their uniforms, but they found no escape. The Japanese army, perceiving the difficulty of feeding so many prisoners of war, marched soldiers and civilians alike off to sites where they were executed and dumped in mass graves. The killing continued on into January, and it rose to a fever pitch. This slaughter of men, women, and children is known as the Rape of Nanjing, and that 6 weeks of horror in Nanjing defined the very word atrocity. Over 300,000 civilians were killed. Babies were speared on bayonets, elderly shot in the back as they fled. Over 20,000 women were raped and killed. For over a month and a half, the rivers of Nanjing ran red. The museum here is built on one of the many execution grounds. This one is the burial site of more than 10,000 people. Signs in Chinese, English, and Japanese indicate where silence is required. But even in the midst of all the horror that was Nanjing, there was a glimmer of hope, and this museum tells that story. The museum pays tribute to the heroic Westerners in Nanjing who organized an international safety zone. Since Japan was not yet at war with America or Great Britain, Western diplomats and missionaries and medical workers joined in sheltering refugees, especially Chinese women, and they did so at great personal risk. I have known for some time that I must come to this museum. Near the end of this long museum on an outdoor path is a life-size statue of Iris Zhang. I knew Iris Zhang only briefly. In 2003, when China sent up its first astronaut, I had hoped our media would interview her. She had written the biography of Chen Shui-shen, China's Wernher von Braun, who designed the Chinese rockets and was still alive to see the first astronaut lift off. American media ignored the story, but this began my few short communications with her. Iris Zhang was an American-born Chinese, a journalism student at the University of Illinois at Urbana, with an intense drive to understand her heritage. She wrote a second book that brought on the ire of the Japanese government. She used the Freedom of Information Act to secure U.S. documents from 1937. She traveled to Nanjing to interview elderly survivors. Her riveting book, The Rape of Nanjing, reawoke international attention on an episode many preferred forgotten. Iris pointed out that while Germany made Holocaust denial a crime, paid restitution to many victims, and clearly teaches the full war history in their schools, Japan does not. The Japanese apology consists of little more than, bad things happen on both sides in wartime, very sorry. And today, Japanese leaders continue to make official visits to the graves of many Japanese war criminals. The German chancellor would never pay tribute to a cemetery that held the graves of Hitler, Goebbels, or Goering. Iris had started another book on the Bataan Death March. She interviewed elderly soldiers who, in many cases, for the first time, spoke of the atrocities they had witnessed. The typist she hired to transcribe her interviews cried all the way through the work. But Iris Zhang would never complete that book. She committed suicide in 2004. And I can't help but feel that in some ways, the casualties of the Nanjing massacre are now 300,000 and one more. As I viewed this statue of Iris Zhang at the museum, a Chinese woman asked if her family could take a picture with me at the statue. It is a common request to take pictures with foreigners, and I nodded. But as they gathered round, I heard her say in Chinese, "Westerners good." My heart sank. How could anyone claim to be as worthy as those heroic Westerners who risked their lives here in war-torn Nanjing? Iris did not let us go blameless. In her book, she shamed both the Chinese and American governments for having let this Nanjing atrocity go ignored for so many years during the Cold War. She lectured us for turning a blind eye to the refugees in the Rwandan genocide. And if Iris Zhang was alive today, I have no doubt that she would be a champion for ending the slaughter and rescuing the refugees in the Near East as well.